where missionaries go into the country of Paraguay, which is the first landlocked country in South America. Now, Paraguay is sometimes known as El Corazón de América, the heart of America, because it's in the central part of the continent. Now, Paraguay is founded August of 1537 when Jesuit priests from Spain came over and they found this town of Trinidad. Now, outside the town of Trinidad, they built this first monastery. Now, Paraguay is also a country of natural resources and natural beauty. Now, these are the Iguazu Falls in the south, sometimes known as La Garganta del Diablo, or the Devil's Throat. Unfortunately, Paraguay is also a very religious country. Close to 90% of all people are professing Roman Catholics. Now, what they're being taught is to pray to and worship statues. But the Bible says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them." Amen. Now, in Paraguay, the people are being taught it's not Jesus Christ who went to the cross and died for your sins. The people are taught that it was Mary who went to the cross and died for their sins, who rose again the third day and ascended up on the right hand of God. In order to get to God, you've got to go through Mary. As a matter of fact, every December, millions of Paraguayans will go to the town of Calcupe and they will parade Mary around and pray to her for blessings on their crops, on their jobs, and on their health. But the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." The Bible also says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." But yet in Paraguay, in Catholicism, Jesus Christ is offered and sacrificed over and over and over and over again, which sacrifice can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now, the church who has most missionaries in Paraguay today is the Mormon Church. There's approximately 300 there, and they have more missionaries than any and all denominations combined. This is a megachurch in Asunción. Now, there's a growing influence of charismatic Pentecostals there, and what they want to do is they want to build 7 other megachurches just like this one all around the country. But Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." When we get to Paraguay, Lord willing, I'll be working with this man, Magno Diaz. He's a saved, independent businessman. He loves the Lord, and he wants to see his people get saved. He's going to be helping me start a church in Asunción, the capital. And from there, we have a Bible Institute, and we're going to go out and plant other churches all along the countryside in different cities and towns in Paraguay. We're also going to be going out on the streets, and we're going to have a ministry of 30,000 homeless men, women, and children in Asunción. Now, we were there last July with my pastor, Jeff McArdle, and we met this man in the center, Pastor Fernando Jimenez. Now, Pastor Jimenez used to be involved in the convention church, and his church was called the Ipané Community Church. But we went there, we made these signs up. The sign says, "Cree en el Señor Jesucristo y seré salvo, tú y tu casa, Actos 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And we took his church out and preached on the street in the city of Niembu. Now, when we left, I got a note. As of September 1st, they broke from the convention. They are no longer the Ipané Community Church. Right now, they are the Fountain of Life Baptist Church, and they'll be taking these signs and going down the streets evangelizing every single weekend. When we were in Paraguay, this brother and sister, both of them, we preached at an expo and trusted Christ your personal Savior. And this is why we're going to Paraguay, folks. And this is why we're going to Paraguay. Because men like Rolando, he trusted Christ as personal Savior at the same expo. We're going to Paraguay because of Carlos. We came across Carlos and started preaching to him. at the same expo, and he trusted Christ as Savior. We're going to Paraguay because of girls like Emily. Now, I came across Emily in San Lorenzo, and she's a homeless girl, by the way. So I preached to her about having a home in heaven, and after a while, she bowed her head and trusted Christ her Savior. We're going to Paraguay because of the kids down there. There were 8 kids in a town called Caacupe, and what we did is we stopped there, we preached the gospel, we preached to 8 kids. All 8 of them got saved. There's 2 of them right now. This is why we're going to Paraguay, because girls like Elizabeth. I preached the gospel to her going up to the town of Caacupe, and on the way there, I asked her, I said, "Do you believe that you're going to go to heaven when you die?" She said, "No." I said, "Do you want to go?" "Yes." So when we got to Caacupe, I said, "Elizabeth, do you understand salvation is only Jesus Christ?" "Yes." I said, "Elizabeth, do you really want to go to heaven when you die?" "Yes." I said, "Elizabeth, would you trust Christ your Savior now?" She said yes, and she did. Amen. This is why we're going to Paraguay. This is Emilio Gonzalez. We picked him up on the side of the road as we were on our way to Pilar. Now, Garmin GPS does not work in Paraguay like it does up here, okay? So we have to rely on maps and basically word of mouth directions. But anyways, we picked him up. We said, "Where's Argentina?" He said, 2 hours east. By the way, I'm going there. So we said, "Get in the car." Now, 5 minutes later, he said, "My name's Emilio Gonzalez. I'm the Catholic priest in the town of Pilar." Wow. And for 2 hours, we preached the gospel to him. Amen? Amen. At the last 15 minutes, we plead with him. He said, "Emilio, God loves you. God sent his son to die for you. Please get saved, Emilio, please." He never did, but he said, "Pray for me. I'm in a spiritual crisis right now. I know I need to leave this church, but there's a lot of people that depend on me. Pray that Emilio Gonzalez will get saved." Amen. And just like Emilio Gonzalez, there are over 6.5 million Paraguayans, no God, no hope, whose end is a lake of fire. And they are in desperate need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the town of Catayura. Now, Catayura is a very unique town of Paraguay because it's built literally right on top of a garbage dump. And what the people in the town will do is they will go through the garbage and collect it. And then they'll make musical instruments out of it. And then they'll go around and play these instruments for different people. Now, that garbage is a bunch of useless trash, right? Amen? But to the people of Catayura, they can take a useless, dead piece of trash and bring life into it by putting on strings and making music. Now, 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus Christ, he came down from heaven, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He took a sinner dead and trespassed in sins. And any sinner who would call upon his name, he breathed life into him. Amen. August 29th, 1999, I called upon Jesus Christ, and he gave me life. Amen. And he is looking to give life to any Paraguayan, dead in trespasses and sins, who will call upon his name. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day." And folks, it's daytime now. It's time to work now. Not yesterday. Yesterday's gone. Not tomorrow. We might not be alive tomorrow. But now. Now is the time to work. Why? Because the night cometh when no man can work. And let me tell you something. When that rapture happens and the trumpet sounds, there will be no more opportunities to pray for anyone. No more opportunities to witness anyone. No more opportunities to give glory and honor to Jesus Christ for what he has done. My name is Marcus Zenelik. Please pray for my family and I as we preach the gospel to the lost and dying people in Paraguay. Thank you. Medalites, please. Amen. Let me... All right, before I go up and preach y'all, My daughter's going to go up and sing for you. Sorry, I got to clear my throat. Amen. And I think April and... Are you going up there too, Malachi? He'll get Daddy a steak. Okay. John? Okay, amen. All right, take your Bibles to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Amen. Now, just to outline what we're going to be doing in Paraguay, first of all, when we get there, we're going to get the language down. Amen? There's another preacher who told me, he said, listen, no language, no ministry. Amen? It'd be like somebody from Norway coming here to Fort Worth, Texas, and saying, I'm going to have a star church, except everyone who comes to my church has to speak Norwegian. How many are you going to go? Well, you come to America, amen? You got to know how to speak English. Amen? You know, when I was growing up in Idaho, they passed a law that English was the official language in Idaho. I don't know why they did that. They had another law, and it was illegal to fish off the back of a camel. That's how bored we are up there. If we're not hunting, we're fishing, we're sitting around, you know, just twiddling our thumbs. Amen? All right. But we're going to start a church in Asuncion. I'm going to have a Bible Institute to train men in, up in the Word of God, and also plant churches all along the way. Amen. Now, I've been to two towns in Paraguay. There's Baptist churches there. They're independent Baptists. Doors are closed. No preacher. That's the problem there. One of them was in the town of Cajacupe, where Mary's located at. I mean, there's a Baptist church. I mean, here's the Catholic church right here. There's a Baptist church right there, and the doors are closed. I told my pastor when I saw this, I said, hey, Pastor, I get back here, those doors are going to be open. Amen? I mean, hey, if Mary's going to have a testimony there, you know, shouldn't Jesus have a testimony there? We're going to plant churches and also have an outreach of 30,000 street kids and men and women. Now, a lot of those kids, they're being forced to join gangs. And basically, the gangs are run by a warlord. And this is what the warlord says. He says, if you work for me, bring back all the money, I promise to protect you. So you got kids going out there. And by the way, in the summertime, it can get up to 120 down there. And it's hot. And you got kids out there, and they'll barely drink water, barely eat, work like dogs, and then they bring all this money to this warlord who basically just greedily collects it. And he doesn't protect them at all. So it's a very sad situation. So we want to go out there, and I've got a friend in Detroit, Brother Joe Hicks, and he's got a ministry called Outreach Ministries to homeless people and youth. So we're going to model our ministry in Paraguay to the homeless after his in Detroit. And what he does, he will go out there, summer, winter, doesn't matter when, he'll go out there and feed those people. And in return, he gains their trust, and he preached the gospel to them. And he's led a bunch of those people to Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to do. Go out there, feed them. Amen? Give them something to drink. In the wintertime, he collects boots for the homeless. Amen? Well, in the wintertime, what I'd like to do is, you know, maybe get blankets for them. Amen? And go out there and just basically let them know, look, you know, this American, I'm not here to take. I'm here to give. Okay? Are you cold? Look, you know, I'm going to have a place for my family night. Amen? We're going to have beds to sleep on. So we're going to be going out there to help those kids, those men, those women. Look, are you cold? I give you a blanket. You need something to eat? You know, let me get you something to eat. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Isaiah 40, starting verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. And by the way, it didn't say anything about evolution. Amen? It didn't talk about an ape or a monkey. Amen? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now in this passage, it's talking about being faint and being weary. And I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of faint not, Christian. Faint not. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you, God, for the time here, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. And God, I pray, Lord, if there's a Christian here, Lord, who's about to faint, God, who's weary, Lord, who's just getting tired, I pray you encourage him, Father, and I pray you give him strength, Lord. If there's someone in you who doesn't know you as your personal Savior, I pray, dear God, that they wouldn't walk out these doors without knowing you as your personal Savior and getting saved, Lord. I ask you right now to help me, Father, and empower me with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you please move me out of the way. I pray you do something for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I get some water, please? So that way I don't pass out of here or choke or anything. Amen. Now, fainting, amen, a lot of Christians these days, they're faint. Now, what does it mean to be faint? Now, Webster's 1828 definition of faint is to be weak, feeble, or hunger or thirst, to be dejected, depressed, dispirited, decline or fail in strength as physical, to lose courage or spirit. Now, I go around this country all the time, and what I see out there is there's a lot of Christians who are faint. They're discouraged. They're dispirited. I mean, they're just, why? Why keep going? What's the use? Amen? Well, you've got a lot of faint Christianity today. Why? Because of new Bibles. I mean, you got a lot of new Bibles out there, and a good example of a King James compared to a new Bible is the grass is always green on the other side. You may have this new Bible, this nice, beautiful green grass. Well, you know where the best grass grows? Over a sewer. Amen? Very green, very lovely. Now, on the other side, you've got this salad. Amen? Now, how many of you would prefer a dessert over a salad? Amen. And basically, this grass, okay, it looks pretty good. It's all right. But this grass has nutrients that you need. Amen? Thank you so much. This grass satisfies. Amen? Where this other grass, yeah, it looks good. It smells good, but you taste it, and you got that sewer stuff underneath. Amen? You have these new Bibles. You got contemporary music. You got churches all the time going after this contemporary music stuff. I don't understand why. When I first got saved, my dad gave me some contemporary music CDs. And like a good son, I threw them away. Behind his back, of course, okay? I don't want to offend the guy. Well, I'm just a new Christian, and he says, how do you like your music? I said, I threw them out. He said, that's going to be the music in churches in 30 years. I said, Dad, I'm sorry, but I'm going to stick with the old hymns. And it's not going to be the music in 30 years. Amen? Amen? If it is, well, then the Lord must have already come back. Amen? And you've got no preaching on hell today, no preaching on sin. You've got a conformity. Just get along with the world. Just conform. Don't rattle the boat. Don't rub the cat the wrong way. Amen? Just get along with people. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't here to get along with people. Amen? He was here to show them, this is who I am. And by the way, he started a lot of fights with the religious people. I just absolutely got under their skin. Oh, that tastes good. Praise the Lord. That's not 100 degrees in here. Amen? Proverbs 24:10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Amen? Now, if you're discouraged and you've got no fight, basically, outside these doors, there's an attitude of don't want any trouble. Amen? Now, I'm not saying go out there and look for trouble. Amen? But listen, if you're following Jesus Christ, if you're doing what God wants you to do, trouble's going to come. Let me give you an example. Last time I was in Paraguay, I was with my pastor and another friend of ours who was down there with us. We were with Pastor Jimenez, and we were with his church, and we took them out to preach on the street and pass out tracts. Well, we went to Nimbu, and there was a carnival going on in a square right in front of the church. So we went there, and we held up our signs, and we started preaching to the people. So what did you preach? Listen, we just preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's it. Amen? We didn't attack the religion or nothing. We got Magno to preach on the street. Amen? And trouble came. Trouble came just by doing right. I had a girl, she's probably 19 or 20, as tall as Godzilla, and she wanted to hit me. And I was just hoping that she wouldn't, because I don't want to come back to the States and explain to churches how I got beat up by a girl. Amen? A guy, all right, I can take that, but a girl in her, early 20s, late teens, I can't face my wife like that. What happened to your face? Oh, I got beat up. By who? 19-year-old. Amen. When Magno was preaching, he had his Bible, he's reading, he's preaching. Some guy came right at him, just absolutely angry, got in his face and started just debating with him. Listen, trouble will come. Don't get discouraged. Now, first of all, I want to say, go to Luke 18:1. Luke 18:1. Faint not in prayer. Amen? Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen? Now, it's easy to give up when you don't have an answer. It's easy to get discouraged when you think, hey, God's not listening to me. If you go to, I'll go there, you don't have to turn there, Isaiah 38:5. God hears your prayer. Amen? He sees you. I'll give you a Bible example. Isaiah 38:5, talking about Hezekiah. And go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. He hears your prayer. Amen? I have seen thy tears. Amen? He hears, he sees. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Amen? God heard, God saw, God answered. Amen? I was in a Catholic church in Auburn, California, where my mom was buried. She got saved before she died. Amen? I was able to lead her to the Lord, but my Catholic family wanted a funeral. Well, I went in there because I wanted to go right up to her, their desk or pulpit, whatever you call it, their table, and put a track right there. So I'm sitting there, I'm waiting for my opportunity. This lady comes in, goes to the statue of Mary, and she's crying tears. And she's like this, and just, oh, just kissing this thing. Amen? Now look, guys, I read my Bible. Amen? Every day. You know what I do after I read my Bible? I kiss it. You know why? This is the closest to Jesus Christ I can get. When I see him, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kiss his feet. Amen? The Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. But anyways, this lady is crying tears. I'm looking at this whole thing, and here's a statue, one of hundreds of thousands, who can't hear her, who doesn't see her, who doesn't care about her. Amen? But listen, we've got a God, a living God, who sees us. Amen? Hears us. Listen, Christian, don't faint in prayer. God's listening. God's seen, and he'll answer. Now, the answers in prayer may come in seconds, may come in minutes, days, weeks, months, or even years. But the answer will come. And God answers, yes, no, not yet. Amen? If you look at Daniel 10, Daniel was praying and he was looking for an answer for God, but the prayer was held up for 21 days by the prince of Persia. God heard the prayer and said, Gabriel, I'm dispatching you, get the answer to Daniel immediately. And he was met by the prince of Persia. Then Michael had to come along and say, look, stand out of the way. This prayer needs to be answered. Amen? But he got his prayer answered. God heard him. Amen? Secondly, go to Matthew 15:37. Secondly, faint not in your walk with the Lord. Matthew 15:37. Matthew 15:37. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. Amen? Now, Jesus fed a multitude with physical bread, but these people were faint. They couldn't go on. And the Lord said, hey, give them something to eat. The disciples said, what do we got? Well, I don't know. Tell me. What do you guys got? Well, there's a little lad here. What do you got, boy? 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Lord, got 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, and $200. I'm just kind of breaking that up. Amen? Says, this isn't enough to feed all these people. Lord says, distribute it. I'll take care of it. Amen? And they were able to go on to their homes. Amen? But they got fed physical bread. Amen? Now, Lord Jesus Christ will give you meat to sustain you daily. Amen? He'll give you something that satisfies, that'll strengthen. Amen? That'll sustain you in your daily walk. He'll give you the spiritual bread from the Bible. Amen? Faint not in your walk. There's a lot of Christians today, and what they're doing is they're running everywhere. They're running to new Bibles. They're running to, you know, these charismatic churches. They're running to churches where, you know, there's a TV screen. You can watch Super Bowl in church. Amen? I heard of a church in Hope, Toledo, Ohio. They've got a Starbucks in church. Amen? And I walked in here, I expected a Burger King, I didn't get anything. Man, am I disappointed. But hey, that's what these churches got. Hey, you know, come in here and just everyone feel good about themselves. Well, you know what those Christians are doing? They're fainting in their walk with the Lord. Amen? They're faint because they've got nothing to help them out. They got nothing to keep them going. Amen? And you've got a lot of Baptists, independent Baptists, who are giving up on their walk. They're discouraged. Amen? If you're here today and you think about, you know, just why? Why keep walking to the Lord? Well, look, I want you to think of two things. First of all, he didn't give up on you in Calvary. Amen? You had the Pharisees. They say, if you're the Son of God, why don't you come down here and show us? Prove it, man. You know what he did? He hung on that cross and he stayed there and looked at them and he said, well, I can either show these guys or I can let them go to hell. Why? Because he's looking out ahead with his eyes, amen, his eternal eyes. He's saying, you know what? There's people over there in Fort Worth, 2013. If I come off the cross, there's going to be no hope for them to get saved. So, you guys go to hell. I'm concerned about them. The millions upon millions out there. Amen? Secondly, God doesn't give up on you as a Christian. Once you're saved, amen, and a child of God, God does not give up on you. Amen? There's a lot of people that give up on him. But you know what? God doesn't give up on them. Thirdly, faint not in your trials and tribulations. Go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12:3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Amen? Faint not in trials and tribulations. Now look, Christian, you'll have trials down here. Amen? You'll have tribulations. And those people that are running around and telling others, hey, if you get saved, you'll be healthy and wealthy. Well, I'm here to testify the wealth part didn't come and the health part's not there. Amen? But salvation is. Amen? Amen? And Jesus was convicted by the Pharisees. Amen? He was condemned by the crowd. He was sentenced by Pilate and he was crucified by soldiers. Amen? Paul's in prison by Nero. But you know what? They said, look, don't be weary because of our tribulations. I mean, did Paul quit? Oh, Paul kept on preaching. What did he do? They cut his head off. Did Jesus Christ quit? No, one of the thieves on the cross got saved. And he kept preaching to the end. Amen? And he was going through some trials. I mean, do you think you can actually lead someone to the Lord when you've been whipped and physically beat to a pulp? Jesus Christ did. You think you can really, you know, have a good testimony and lead people to the Lord when you're in prison? I know some people are in prison right now. They're leading people to the Lord left and right. Amen? And when they're going through it, amen? God's people go through hardships all the time. Amen? This life is not a healthy and wealthy life. Amen? This life is a veil of tears. But listen, God has promised strength for the day. He didn't promise sunshine or rain. Amen? He didn't promise an easy road, but He promised to give strength for the day. What kind of hardships? Problems with bills. Amen? Family troubles. Illnesses. Amen? I go to churches all the time. There's always prayer requests for a brother and sister in Christ with cancer. I'll tell you what, that bothers me. Amen? That bothers me. On my prayer list, when I pray in general for any brother or sister. Heal them. Help them. Give them wisdom. Do something for them. Give their families grace. Amen? Help them. Even got trouble with other brothers. Amen? And there are other Christians that will give you a fit. And it's happened before. Amen? But if you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and remember Calvary, amen, and the victory in the end. You know what the victory in the end was? The resurrection. You know, they put Jesus Christ down. You know what the devil did? He threw a 3-day party. He said, "We got him. We got him. It's ours." Woo! And you know what happened? He goes to death on the 3rd day. Hey, come on. Come on, have a drink. We're celebrating here. I'm just bringing it up from modern times. Okay? The devil does this. Come on, have a beer, man. He says, "We got a problem here." What? He's there. He's dead. Come on. Let's go party. He says, sorry, he ain't there no more. What happened? Well, I tried to tackle him. I tried to put him in a headlock. I couldn't do it. He got right up, just plucked me aside like I was just a little fly, rolled back the stone, and he's out of here. He's alive. Amen? Listen, Jesus Christ got the victory in the end. You know the victory you've got in the end? You know what kind of victory you got? A mansion. Amen. Listen, when you get to heaven, you're not going to be paying any bills. You're not going to have tax collectors. You're not going to have IRS. You're not going to have collection agencies hounding you. Amen. You're not going to have an illness in your body. Amen. Listen, folks, ladies, you'll never grow old. Amen? Never. And you're going to be running around the streets of gold all the time. Amen? Listen to me. You're going to be happy up there. Amen? You'll have a home. You're not going to have to worry about anyone anymore. You know why? Because your loved ones and friends who are saved, they're going to be up there with you. You say, what about the ones that went to hell? The Bible says that God shall wipe away the tears from all eyes. Amen? Now that's the truth, but there's something that bugs me about it. I've got 3 brothers. One of them's going to be up there with me because I led him to the Lord personally. I know he's saved. But I got 2 that are going to go to hell if they don't get saved. And what the Bible's saying is if they go to hell, and I see them with white throne judgments, and I'm going to be crying when they go into hell. I mean, look, I'm trying to win them. amen, praying for him. But God's going to just take his loving hand, wipe away the tears from my eyes, and say, forget about it. It's done. It's going to eternity. Amen? I'm going to forget about him. Amen? You're going to forget about him. Faint not in trials and tribulations. Lastly, faint not in your labor for the Lord. Go to Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen? The Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters, thou shalt find it after many days. Amen? You know what that is? Getting the gospel out. Now, my family and I did missionary work in Bolivia before we went to Paraguay. And by the grace of God and some help from nationals, we were able to get out 60,000 gospel tracts. Said, how many profession of faith did you get from those? I have no clue. Amen? In Paraguay, thus far, we've been able to, by the grace of God and help some nationals, get out about 25,000 tracts in a 5.5-month survey trip. Amen? In two parts. One 5 months, the other for 2 weeks last July. How many of them got saved? I don't know. Amen? My job is not to count the numbers. Amen? Now look, we've seen ANI people get saved in Bolivia. We've seen 14 souls in Paraguay get saved. We've seen 2 souls in Argentina get saved. Amen? But my job is not to count the numbers. My job is to get these tracts out. Amen? Say, how many people in America have you come across giving tracts to, and how many people have gotten saved? I don't know. I got a blessing today. I always get a blessing from this. I went to Dunkin' Donuts this morning, and I gave a tract to the lady, you know, right after she gave me my food and stuff, and I went outside. My wife went in with the kids to use the restroom. She comes out and says, hey, Marcus, you know the tract you gave the girl? I said, yeah. She's reading it. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen? 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 Listen, there are 7 billion sinners out there. Amen? Our job is to get the gospel to each and every one of those sinners. Our job is to daily witness to people. Amen? You say, I'm kind of a shy person. I don't know how to talk. You can give him a track. Amen? You can give him a track. You invite him to church. Amen? When I grew up on Hayden Lake in North Idaho, I used to go fishing with my dad all the time. And basically, me and my 2 younger brothers out fishing with my dad, and he'd be in the front part of the boat. He'd be fishing. My brother Anthony, he'd be fishing. My brother Cale, he'd try to fish. And I wasn't much of a, you know, I was into fishing a little bit, but I was one who basically would sit down and drink all the soda. My dad would say, hey, give me a Pepsi. Gone. Okay, Mountain Dew. Gone. Sprite? Gone. You're in trouble, Marcus. But I'd fish once in a while, amen? And when I got to fishing, I would get into it. And I'll tell you what, it's really fun to just cast that hook out there. You just reel it in like this. That's how my dad tossed the fish and kind of reel it in like that. You know, tease the fish with the worm. And when that fish, you know, would start to nibble on it, and boom, you jerk that rod and you get that fish in, and oh, look at that thing. Is it in regulation? No? Yep, regulation, we can keep it. Amen? Listen, same way with soul winning. Listen, it takes a lot of patience. Amen? When you're fishing for a fish, you got to be patient. You have to let that fish come to you. When you're fishing for souls, be patient. Amen? My pastor, he was a missionary to Cuba, and when he started deputation, he was out on, my wife's not here to tell me that beach, but it was somewhere near Pensacola Beach, but he was out on a pier fishing, and he told his wife, I'm not coming in to eat until I catch a fish. So he's out there for close to 6 to 8 hours fishing. He catches nothing. Amen? My wife goes out there. casts the line out once, and then she catches a shark. And I don't go fishing with my wife. Amen? But listen, you've got to have patience. He was out there 6 to 8 hours waiting for a fish. Amen? Now, if the fish doesn't come that day, you know what you do? You go out the next day. You go out every single day. What do? You fish. Keep fishing. Fish, fish, fish. And one of these days, got one. Amen? But listen to me. You say, okay, I'll be rewarded when I win the soul to Christ, but what about just giving out the gospel? You'll be rewarded for that too. Amen? And y'all got jobs. Amen? You go to work? Does your boss pay you for what you do? Amen? Now, let's say you work at a car factory. And let's say you're helping put cars together. Now, the boss is not expecting 10,000 cars to go off the assembly line every month. You know what he's expecting? He's expecting you to do your job. Amen? You know what the Lord's expecting? He's not expecting 100 souls a week. And if you can, praise the Lord, that's great. But what he is expecting is for you to do your job, just be faithful witnessing. Amen? That's all you can do. You'll see results in eternity. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a man years and years and years ago in Australia, Sydney, Australia, and there were cruise ships that would come by the port. Well, this man would go there by a bus station right next to the port, and he was just an older guy, had a backpack, and he'd just sit there like this, and people would come by and say, excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am, I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but this will tell you how to become one. People would come by from all over the world, okay, yeah, take a track, thanks a lot, stuff in their pockets. Well, a lot of these people went on their cruise ships, and when they're alone, you know, in their little, you know, cubbyhole rooms, they take these tracts out, read them, and a lot of them got saved. Well, there's this one lady from England. She got a tract from this guy, and she got saved on the way back to England. Amen? And she, when she got back to England, she started looking for a church to go to, and she came across the Little Independent Baptist Church. Well, she went in, and the pastors asked for, you know, any testimonies, blessings, and she raised her hand and introduced herself and told the people how she got saved. Well, this pastor got interested, and he went over, and he said, where is this guy? And she said, well, I caught him at Sydney, Australia, and he was right at this bus station right by the Sydney port. So this preacher, he said, you know what, I have got to go see this guy. So he goes to Australia, to Sydney, Australia. And when he's there by that same bus stop, he's just kind of standing around, and all of a sudden, someone taps him on the shoulder. And this guy says, excuse me, sir, I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but this will tell you how to become a Christian. And this preacher turned around and gave this guy a hug, and he said, thank you for what you're doing. You're doing a good job. Well, this guy started to cry. And he said, why are you crying? He said, sir, I don't think I'm doing a good job. I've been out here for years giving people these tracts. I have never, never, never seen anyone come to Christ as their personal Savior. He said, sir, you're mistaken. You've got converts all over the world. Men, this man did not know the results. The only thing he knew, sir, ma'am, I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but this will tell you how to become a Christian. Amen? There was a farmer named Leland in Kansas. He witnessed to everyone he came across. Amen? And this man died. He never led a soul to Christ. But there was a preacher that knew him very well at his funeral. when the preacher gave the invitation, 32 people who've been witnessed to by Leland raised their hands and they came forward for salvation. This preacher looks up to heaven and says, there's your fruit, Leland. Amen. You may not see the results down here. Amen. But you know what? God's keeping a record. You will be rewarded. Stay faithful. Keep getting the gospel out. And if I can say anything to you tonight, faint not, Christian. Don't faint. The Lord's coming back. Amen. Don't faint. Yeah, this world is out of control, but don't faint. Yeah, the United States might fall. Don't faint. Yeah, we've got a wicked government, and you know, they could shut us down any minute. Don't faint. Amen. Listen to me. If Jesus Christ ever dies and never rises from the grave, then faint. But that's not going to happen. Amen. Pastor, if you're gone, faint not, Christian.